All right, welcome everybody to the next episode of the Trucknology Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Berlin, and today I'm joined by Jack Azor, our Director of Operations and Vice President of Native American Logistics. Say hi to everybody, Jack.
Hi, everybody.
So today we're going to spend a few minutes just talking about Jack's expertise. He's been in logistics a long, long time, one of the smartest guys I know in the space. And he's worked at NAL for just about the entire time NAL's been around, I think. He was one of the very first guys to join the team. And I think that was, 2010 or 9?
Just
a long time ago. Yeah, a long time ago. So we've had a lot of time to work together, and I know Jack is excellent in logistics in every respect, so I thought I'd take a few minutes and kind of do a quick profile on him. And so, Jack, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you came from, and how you ended up in logistics?
Well, you know, like you mentioned, I've been around for a long time, and I started in logistics when I got recruited from college by Surface Merchandise. I don't know if you remember them. It was a retail store that had about 1,200 stores all around the nation. So I started in the claims department. We used to collect about $1 million in claims a year. So I had a, you know, gain a lot of experience in claims, dealing with carriers and LTO with LTO carriers. And then from there, I joined their domestic transportation, and then I got involved in the international business, international imports and exports. So after leaving Surface Merchandise after 15 years, I joined Gibson Guitar. So I got offered an opposition to run the logistics for Gibson Guitar based out of Nashville, Tennessee. So I did work there for about 5 years, deal with not only the transportation, but also with the logistics of trade shows. So I spent a lot of time, you know, setting up booth and coordinating all that stuff, making sure that everything was organized before the trade shows, and got an opportunity to travel pretty much all over the world. Spent a lot of time in Germany, China, and then back in the East and West Coast, the U.S. So I was there for about 5 years, but, you know, I started building a family, and I got married, and I started having kids. So my wife didn't want me to spend a lot of time away from home. So I decided to make some change, and I decided to move on to VF Corporation. It's a textile company. Owns a lot of good brands like North Face, Nautica, Lee, Wrangler, JanSport. So there's just a lot of brands in the textile industry. So I did started managing their international business for one of their divisions that it was based out of Nashville, VF Imagewear. And pretty much made all the we distribute the product to police departments that were workwear textile for the VF Corp division. So we distribute a lot of anything that you see on the airline industry, anybody that works over the counter, those uniforms. We used to distribute that, and also to the police department, uniform the police department, TSA, all the personnel that works on TSA, those uniforms come from the VF Imagewear division. So I worked there for about 15 years, handled a lot of imports for that division. Again, got to travel to the Far East, and spent a lot of time in Bangladesh, India, just a lot of you know, sweatshops, like we call it. I spent a lot of time visiting with suppliers, setting up overseas consolidation opportunities for the VF Imagewear. And we had I was part of the transportation committee. We had about five different divisions. So each division had their own logistic manager. So we started consolidating a lot of the shipments. At first, we were, you know, everybody was working independently, but then we start putting things together. And that's where we start looking at consolidation opportunities overseas, and the same way on the domestic side of it, doing consolidation and all warehousing consolidation. So I did spend a lot of years there, and then I got an offer from them to, they wanted to eliminate my position, and got an offer from them to relocate to Hong Kong or South America, and I decided not to because I, you know, I just wanted to stay around, and we were having kids, so it was real difficult to relocate the whole family. So I decided to just to take their buyout, and that's when I kind of started looking around. I hooked up with NAL. You know, you and I talked for a while. And I was in Nashville back on those dates, and decided to accept the position to run, you know, start working with a third logistic party, which is, to me, it was a different gig. You know, just I've been accustomed to work on the other side of the desk, and now working from the carrier perspective was a challenge, and I didn't really know what to expect. And and especially starting working, handling business for the automotive industry, which was a little different. You know, it was a lot of fast pace than textile. So, but again, I felt like that, you know, if it was going to be managing transportation and logistics, I knew that I was going to be able to handle that. So from there, you know, we grew. I relocated to Chattanooga. We managed, we started with, when VW opened their plant down in Chattanooga, we were there. We went in the customer facility, and we were able to manage that, you know, that business. We grew it, and in a couple of years, we stepped out and opened an office in Chattanooga. We had, you know, a team there managing a lot of the freight that we were managing out of the Southeast, from several different customers. And then at some point, we decided to consolidate all the operations in one facility. And because our biggest group was based out of Madison High, we decided to relocate to the whole team to Madison High and consolidated the operations in one building. I did work from home for for several years, doing the, you know, visiting customers, business development, and so I gained a lot of knowledge on the sales side of the business, but also, you know, with my operations side, I kind of felt like I had an advantage because being on the other side of the desk, kind of I knew exactly what the customer needed to be able to run the business. You know, not only from data standpoint, but also how to manage the business, how to consolidate, how to you know, how to improve the process. So spent a lot of years doing that, and it kind of really did that for what?
Well, I'll tell you what, that's
9 years. And then recently, you know, my wife from Flint, and you know, we talked and decided to relocate up to Michigan. And here we are now, you know, running the NAL business out of our Madison High facility. We have a great team. I feel like this is one of the best teams that we had in a long time. Very customer focused.
Yep, I agree. I tell you what, Jack, and I know you and I have known each other for a long time, but I didn't even know some of that. So that's I didn't know you traveled so much in Asia and stuff. And I got to tell you, that kind of travel experience is one of the rare things that a lot of logistics people don't have. I've also been able to travel quite a bit and see other countries. And until you actually see how it works someplace else, you just really can't compare to what people think logistics is in the United States. I mean, you know, you slip on a pair of jeans in the morning that's made in Sri Lanka and you have no idea how it got there, but you know the whole thing, right? From manufacturing, right on through the ships, through the ports, right down to the in-store delivery, pretty much, right?
Yeah, it's a really complex operation, and you know, once you see it firsthand how all the countries handle their transportation, it's just a lot different, you know, how
Yeah,
they
it is.
manage it, how they move it. So that really helped me to kind of get a, you know, good knowledge of the industry. And now, you know, the focus is on NAL, trying to build the business. Like I mentioned, I think we have a really good group. We spend a lot of time focusing on, you know, serving the customer. That's the main thing. I tell everybody, anybody can move freight from point A to point B. It's how you communicate, you know, the transparency, being transparent with the customer. And I always encourage my team to learn their business like they're the one sitting behind the desk. That's how you can offer solutions. That's how you can offer, you know, cost improvements. And you know, once the customers see that, they start listening. You know, they know that, you know, especially in the automotive industry, there's so much turnover that we are some, you know, it's not unusual to be the one training their materials manager, because they hire so often that, you know, you learn, you know, the business better than they do. So you kind of show them how, you know, who their suppliers are, where the freight is moving from, how we're moving it. So it's pretty cool, I think. And
Yeah. So most of the stuff that you did before sounds like it was mainly outbound type programs. And then when we switched to automotive, it was almost all inbound initially. What was the biggest change for you switching from, you know, textiles, guitars, consumer goods in an outbound scenario to an inbound managed program in automotive? What was the biggest aha moment for you?
well, I mean, the biggest is the pace.
The
It's a
pace.
fast-paced environment. You know, it's risky environment. You know, you got to make sure that your freight is moving on time, is pick up on time, deliver on time. You know, customers are, especially in the automotive industry, you know, they very tight inventory. So it's very important to make sure that the freight is moving on time, especially now that a lot of the business is coming in from Mexico. You have to deal with not only the transport on the Mexican side all the way to the border, but also the crossing, and make sure that also all that is timely, is crossing on time. Make sure that the paperwork is ready on time. You have to deal not only with Make sure that the carrier has all the paperwork. You have to deal with brokers, custom brokers. You know, so it was a little bit different, but I would say the fast pace, it was shocking, and that was the big difference to me.
It is. If you've not been in automotive, it is kind of a culture shock to get into it. I'm sure there's other industries that are unique too, but when you compare logistics and all different types of commodities that move, automotive is definitely one of the fastest for sure. So, if you were looking back to when you started here, what would you tell yourself saying, "Hey, these are the things that would have made my learning process faster acclimating to automotive"? What kind of things would you give yourself advice from 15 years ago?
Oh man, I tell you, it's I don't really think you can really explain how fast the environment moves unless you experience it, you
Are
know.
in it, yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's the big key is I think we are right now, because what we have know we know about the business, we you know, we have the tools to be able to provide to our employees, you know, a good training tool, you know, that they know what to expect from the time that they start managing an account. And we don't really throw them we don't throw them in the fire right away. You know, we want to make sure that they get used to the fast pace and used to the environment that they're working under. So I think that has really worked well. So I feel like Right now, we have a really good training program in place, which I think in the past we have kind of, when we have bring someone in, we have thrown them in the fire, and that sometimes has
burn them
backfired.
Out probably a little bit,
Yeah,
probably.
exactly.
Yeah. Well, I'll agree with you on that, Jack. I think we've got probably the best team we've ever had here at NAL, and that's really in large part thanks to your leadership. So you're doing a great job there. But if you were to talk to somebody that's just getting out of college, or somebody that's just getting into the business or don't know what to do with their life, how would you explain logistics to them and say, hey, this is a good career? Why is it a good career?
Well, I mean, think about it. Everything that we consume moves by truck, by air, by boat. So it is, and we know that's not going to go away. That's not going to change.
Yep. So unless they start manufacturing everything you need right next to your house, something's going to be on a truck, right?
Exactly, exactly. Yep. So it's a really good industry to get into. It's complex. It's like putting a puzzle together, you know. And that's the thing that I enjoy the most is to make sure that we have that we look at the whole supply chain, especially being on the 3PL environment. We manage multiple supply chains. So when you're looking at 5, 6, 7 different supply chains, you're looking at opportunities to move freight and combine it and be able to. And that eventually will help the customer to improve their cost and, you know, improve their processes. So those are the things that I enjoy the most is putting the puzzle together and make sure that everything fits and keep everybody happy.
Keep everybody. Yeah, you're right. Keep the truck rolling and keep the customers happy. So if you bump into somebody in an elevator and they say, man, I am so pissed at my 3PL. What would you tell them that NAL does really good if you were trying to say, hey, I got a solution for you? What do you think NAL does really well?
Hey, we can provide total visibility of your shipments from point A to point B. We will make sure that your shipments are picked up on time, deliver on time, and we will be transparent. You know, we have heard through all the years all the different excuses that you receive from carriers, from 3PLs, you know, the flat tires, you know, traffic, all that stuff. You know, no, we tell the customers exactly what's going on and make sure that they understand. You know, everybody's going to have problems. You're not going to be able to avoid problems. It's right. Just how you react, how you take care of those. And that's what sets us apart. Is how do we resolve issues, how we communicate with the customer, how we learn their business. So that's what I would tell somebody. I mean, that's just who we are.
I think I'd answer almost the same way. Taking ownership of that supply chain is really what makes the difference. I mean, you can be an employee that just gets it done, or you can take ownership of it, which means you're going to go above and beyond. I know I spent last weekend talking with an agent that was handling some carrier issues, and we spent all weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, working through the problems for the customer. So, yeah, that's kind of how logistics is, right? You just got to knuckle down and do it.
And, you know, we know how it is. You got to be available, you know, 24/7. You know, that's what we offer, 24/7 service, you know, all around the clock, year-round.
Yep.
Regardless
so
if it's a holiday or not.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I think I remember it was you and I that were trying to move freight over Christmas Eve down to Mexico about 10 years ago. I seem to recall spending Christmas Eve at 1 o'clock in the morning on the phone with the DC-9 trying to get freight in. I think
right.
That was us. What?
That's right.
So,
I mean,
yeah, you're right.
There's
it never
always
stops.
Something. There's always something. I remember being, you know, where we have issues on a Friday night. And didn't stop until Sunday afternoon when everything kind of calmed down and settled down, you know?
Yeah. So I think Murphy's Law of Logistics says all the problems start at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on a Friday. I think
that's right.
They never start at 9 o'clock on Monday. Never, ever.
Yeah. So, you know, I think we do a really good job on from that standpoint. And that's basically it. You know?
I think I agree with that. So you've been in logistics basically your entire adult career. What do you see coming up in the next 6 to 12 months? If I'm a material manager at an automotive plant, or I'm at a consumer goods place and I'm looking for somebody to give me some outbound support on 3PL or inbound manufacturing support, what should I expect to happen over the next 6 to 12 months in the industry, given our current climate and environment? What do you think?
You know, it is right now the industry is kind of on hold pretty much. It seems like there's a lot of uncertainty. And, you know, I see the industry growing as we move forward, but then there's the issue with there might be a lack of drivers in the industry. For the short term, it's probably going to be a lack, you know, a shortage of trucks, drivers. So there's a lot of uncertainty in the industry what's going to happen, especially in the U.S. when we are focusing now on making sure drivers, you know, they pass their DOT test and, you know, they speak English. You know, there's a lot of foreign drivers in the industry. And when you take those from the industry, I think it's going to take some time to things to get back to the where to normal, so everybody feel more normal. So I can see the U.S. market continue to grow, manufacturing the U.S. market to grow. So there's going to be a lot of more intra-U.S. opportunities, but Mexico is still going to play a role in the whole, especially in the automotive industry. It's going to play a big role still. So. You still gotta move freight from Canada, from Mexico, so and from all the part of the world. So I expect rates to maybe, you know, again to continue to be pretty much stable for the rest of this year, and maybe early next year continue to be stable. But after that, after the half of next year, I can see an increase on the rates and so on. So,
okay. So you just really got to pay attention. It's a very dynamic environment. Not every year is the same. I mean, I can remember back in 2005 when Hurricane Katrina hit and fuel prices jumped to $5.50 a gallon overnight. Right. Everybody just blew their minds, right? And so you just never can predict some of that stuff. And it threw the whole supply chain industry really in an uproar, and we never know, things like that are going to happen. We just got to be prepared for them. So
exactly, and you know, we try to stay on top of it. We do a lot of research. We communicate any changes or anything to our customers. That's why we do quarterly reviews, just make sure that we stay connected with our customers, that they understand what's going on in the industry. You know, we have some customers that are more knowledgeable than others, but you know, again, it's part of what we do is make sure that, you know, I feel like we're not only moving freight, but we are an extension of our customers' logistic department. So you know, that's why I make sure that our team understands and learn the business, like if they're sitting on the other side of the desk, because, you know, right, we're an extension of our clients.
Yeah, that's very important. I mean, I think one of the biggest hurdles that I run across when talking with new prospective clients is that they're afraid of relinquishing control of that because they're afraid that somebody's not going to value their supply chain as much as they do. And in fact, we really do. We look at it like we own it, and every mistake we own 100%. We're not a pass the buck kind of company. I know that for a fact. So, you know, we own our decisions, and I think that distinguishes us from a lot of other 3PLs. A lot of companies that I've talked to before really like the blame somebody else process. And I don't think we do that. So I think that's very important. And a lot of that comes from, again, your overview and your leadership and down there. So I appreciate that too.
And we try to spend as much time as we can in front of the customer. I mean, I think that's important.
It is. Despite all the new forms of technology and communication, it still comes down to face-to-face and a handshake, doesn't it? It just really does. I mean, how many times have you closed business on a text message?
No, not much.
Zero, right? It's mostly face-to-face. We have agreements even today that are just because you and I looked somebody in the eye, shook their hand and said, we're going to do it. and we have the business because of that. We don't necessarily even have agreements in some cases, right, because they know when we say we're going to do it, we're going to do it. So, yeah, that's cool. So, what do you think a lot of people misunderstand most about logistics? When you talk to even our own clients sometimes, what do you think they misunderstand about what it is that we do?
You know, I had a client one time that told me that trucking companies are just like taxis.
Like what? Taxis?
Taxis, right. Oh. Now you can grab any taxi you want and they just take you where you want to go, you know? And, you know, I can see where you're coming from, sure, but at the same time, I say, well, yeah, but, you know, you have one driver that can take you to the airport the right way, and then another driver might take you around the city to take you to the airport, you know? And that's the same way with trucking and in our industry, you know? Yeah. Just, I didn't answer your question, but I forgot what question you asked me.
No, you're right. You're right, though. I think people misunderstand a lot about how simple it is to find a truck. And I think, honestly, with all the technology that out there, it's out there, it's still a problem. I mean, you can do a lot of things to vet carriers. You can do a lot of things to do track and trace, and there's still ways around it. And there's still shady characters out there, and you've got to always be mindful. So, you got to constantly be on the vigil for that. And, you know, the uninformed shipper is probably going to get taken advantage of eventually.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really care what carrier it is. It just comes down to the driver. You know, the driver owns that truck when he's driving it. So it's up to that individual is to make sure that the cargo that he's moving gets to where it needs to go on time. And there's no surprises. So I think that we do a very good job making sure that our partners, you know, the right partners that we partner with. I see where you got 3PLs are showing that they have 29,000, you know, carriers. You know, to me, that's kind of misleading, really.
It is.
But at the same time, you know, we try to partner with carriers that we've been doing business for a long time with. Carriers that are, you know, that have the right team in place and they're reliable. And that's part of, you know, and that's what's helping us to be able to do it, to provide the type of service that we do.
Right. Yeah, that's very true. Well, Jack, listen, it's been 15, 20 minutes. I appreciate all the background and the insight. It's been very informational. I appreciate that. Is there anything else you want to add?
No, I mean, I think looking forward ahead, you know, I think AI is going to play a big role in our industry. I know that we are heavily looking into that, how we're going to help us to be able to analyze, you know, all of our lanes and be able to put some things together more efficiently. So I'm looking forward to that, really. I'm really looking forward to see what AI can bring to the table for us.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, you know, part of our job is really the engineering. It's not just buying it cheap. It's engineering a supply chain that's efficient. And the more information and data you have available to do that, the better your engineering solutions can be. And so, I agree with you. And I got to say, you know, personally, it's been an absolute pleasure working with you. And I love seeing you solve problems, and I love going to clients with you. So I'm glad you're on the team, and I appreciate you sharing all your insight with us. And, you know, if you got anything else, feel free to bring it on. We're looking forward to seeing where we go in the next few years. So
that's right. We're looking
keep
forward
up
to
good
it.
Work.
I'm looking for, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Jack. I appreciate
it. Talk to you later.
Take care. Bye.